All right, this morning, like I said, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 19. And this is one of those passages that it brings us back to the beginning of where I think this past week I was telling Stephanie earlier, we were talking, and I've been listening to different pastors online different times. There's different ones that I like to listen to, because on any given Sunday, I don't get to sit and listen to a pastor. I don't get to sit and take notes. I take all my notes during the weeks. But so I will sit down and I will listen to podcasts and pastors preach sermons during the week. Well, over the last couple weeks, I've listened to a gentleman, and one of the things that he talked about this past week in one of his messages was centered around a quote from D.L. Moody. Or no, excuse me, it was an evangelist from Britain years ago, and his last name was Smith. But he shared, how can a person, whether it's a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or even an individual, how can we do everything we can do to get revival back in our church? And the quote from D.L. Moody, when he was asked that question, or excuse me, not D.L. Moody, he was a different one that we may get to later. But anyway, this evangelist said, how can we do that? And he got to a point, he said, go home. And he said, lock the door and draw a circle with chalk and then kneel down in it and pray for God to start revival in that circle. Because it's never going to happen. We can say we want revival, we can say we want renewed, we can say whatever we want to say, but until we're willing to say, God, you need to start it in me, that's what we need to do. And I literally thought about how much that convicted me, that I needed to draw a circle up here. But for those of you that are here all the time, know that I couldn't stand in the circle. I can't stand still. But you understand that I feel as guilty as anyone, because I know that I'm not as close to God as I should be. So this morning is one of those passages that we're going to look at. The title is Reconciliation. And I want to read the definition of that before we get into the message. It says, to restore a broken relationship caused by sin. Moving from a state of spiritual alienation to harmony through faith, repentance, and the grace of Jesus Christ. Recognizing misalignment, repenting, and actively choosing to align your will with God's will. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's read. I'm going to start in verse 19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Let's pray. God, as we come to open your word today, may you open our hearts. Lord, if we don't hear from you, we will never be moved. We'll never be changed. And we'll never glorify you. So, Lord, it is my prayer today that you start in me. Lord, draw us to where you want us to be. Bring to our mind what it is you want us to know, that we might honor you the way we should. In your name we pray. Amen. This passage, like I said, with reconciliation, so many times when we talk about that and it's preached on, it's like you're talking to people that need to come to know Jesus Christ. Well, that's true. But read this passage again, and he says down in 21, "And you who were alienated." He's not talking to people that are lost. He's talking to saved people. So if you think for just a moment, well, I've already accepted Christ, I've already been reconciled to God, so this message isn't for me. As he wrote to the Colossians, he's writing to Christians. He's telling them, you were once like this, but you're not anymore. And so I want us to look today, I want us to look at this passage for sure the way it was written. Never take Scripture out of context. Never take it away from what it meant. Now, there are times when it would be written in some of the Old Testament, would be written just to the children of Israel, and it may not be written to us today. It may have been talking to just them. But there are also passages where it would be written in the Bible to a certain people, but it also applies to anyone that is a child of God. This passage is that way. He's writing to the Colossians and all the things that they were dealing with, all of the Gnosticism and the things that were going on at that time, and everything that those people believed and the society that they lived in, he's writing to them. But it also applies to bring about the understanding that if I'm not the one he's talking to, then I'm in trouble. So he starts out here. And I want us today to, first of all, if you're taking notes, he starts off reminding them where they were. Reminding them where they were. He says here that you were alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works. There's a passage I want to jump to real quick. It's in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. It's just real short, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and he says, "But you," in starting in, let's go back to verse 8, he says, "You yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So that verse in 1 Corinthians kind of breaks it down, and it doesn't name all of the bad things, because every single one of us falls short of the glory of God. But what we have to understand is where we came from. It says here that we were alienated from God. You were separated from God. And you will hear people all the time say, "Well, I was born that way." Every one of us were born in sin. Every one of us, if it's a pedophile, he was born that way because we were born in sin. Every human being after Adam and Eve were born in sin. But you can't stay that way. Just because you were born that way doesn't mean you stay there. It doesn't mean you have to stay there. We use it as an excuse sometimes, saying, "Well, you know, that's the way I was born. Well, I was born in a hospital room, but I didn't stay there." We use it as an excuse to say, "I didn't have a choice." What we just went through, what we remembered of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shedding His blood for us, that gave us a choice. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But what we have to understand is we were alienated. You who were once alienated. You're not anymore. So don't live like it. But remember where God has brought you. I can look back in my life, you can look back in your life, and you can see where you were at when you understood that Christ died for you for the first time and that you were in need of a Savior. You can look back and see that point. At that point, you were separated from God. The Bible, everybody knows John 3:16, but they don't always know John 3:18. It says, you stand condemned already because you did not believe in the only begotten Son of God. That's where we were. But because of John 3:16, we don't have to stay in John 3:18. If you are reconciled with God, that definition that I gave you earlier, if you are brought back to that right relationship because of the blood of Jesus Christ, then you are no longer alienated. He has done everything to bring you back. So understand where you were. We cannot live our life looking back just at the past. But when I look back and I remember what He did and I look back about where He's brought me from, then that reminds me how I'm supposed to live now. The grace of God that's brought me from where I was to where I am. And I have a long ways to go. But I was alienated. And He tells them, secondly, they were enemies in your mind. How many of us actually saw ourselves as enemies? I know before I accepted Christ, I didn't feel like I was an enemy of God. I just felt like I was this guy walking down a road, and at some point, I would get to a crossroad, and I would have to decide, am I going to go this way or am I going to go that way? Am I going to follow God or am I going to follow the world? And I felt like I will get to a point in my life where I'll have to make that choice. That's what I always thought. Until God said, no, as long as you're walking, you've made a choice. You're going to either choose to keep walking the direction you're walking, or you're going to repent and turn and walk the other way. It's not a crossroad. It's a straight line. And you're either walking towards God or you're walking away from Him. That's where we're at. And so we see ourselves as just somebody that, you know, I mess up, I don't know enough about God, whatever you want to call it, but we don't see ourselves as enemies of God. But that's what He says. He says, before you were reconciled, you were not only alienated from God, separated from Him, but you were an enemy in your mind. You were an enemy of God in your mind because you were making choices based on who was going to be the boss of your life, who was going to be the Lord of your life. Every decision I made, I wanted my best interest. It had nothing to do with God. It was I wanted what I wanted because that would be the best job for me, or because that would be the most fun for me, or that would be the thing that would get me the farthest in life. And so all of my choices, which I thought were just natural life choices, were all choices to choose to go against God. Because if He's not my Lord, somebody else is. If I'm not going that way, then I'm going that way. There's no option. So I was alienated. You were alienated. I was an enemy. You was an enemy. And we did wicked works. I didn't ever feel like those things were wicked. I knew I messed up. I knew I'd sin, you know, because I'd always heard, oh, sin's when you miss the mark. Well, yes, that's true. But sin is not just missing the mark. God has set up that mark that we all fall short of. We understand that. But we look at it like I'm a good old boy that I just didn't make it. I just didn't live up to what God wanted me to live up to. But I'm okay. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's sin. To him that knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin. When I miss the mark, even though I'm trying, and I stumble, and I sin, it's still sin. And sin is what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. There is no okay sin. Now, there's terrible ones. Mine's just a small one. No, it doesn't work that way. That's a lie of Satan. Because that's what he uses to let us be comfortable with those sins that we think are small or okay. But anytime you miss the mark, anytime I miss the mark, it is wicked in the eyes of God, because that is what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And if I ever get comfortable with that, or you ever get comfortable with that, we've got an issue. We need to remember exactly where we were. So many times there are people that I've talked to, and I'm sure you have too, and maybe you even felt this way, to where you just don't look back at how you used to be. And we should never dwell on it. We should never give it glory in our life. But we need to understand where we were and the grace that got us to where we are, and how far we want to be from where we used to be. Because if I ever look at it as just an okay, I made a good decision, I'm off and running towards heaven, or at least I'm not where I used to be, I'm better than that guy, I'm better than that girl. If I don't recognize how bad I was, then it takes away from the glory of God. Because if I think it's just something that was, oh, it wasn't good, it wasn't bad, it wasn't wicked, it wasn't evil, then you're saying that Jesus Christ's blood didn't cover wicked and evil. Because that's what it was. If we downplay sin in any way, shape, or form, because that's what society wants us to do, that's what Satan wants us to do, when we do that, we take away from the glory of God. That's where we used to be. And I step aside here for just a second to say, if you haven't ever been reconciled to God, I don't know how to be any plainer, any more blunt, than that's where you are right now. And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to preach the Word of God and say it the way it is. Because here he's saying, those that have been reconciled used to be this way. And when we understand that, if you're reconciled and you're not that way, if you're not reconciled, then you're still that way. It's not a fork in the road. It's either or. You're either reconciled or you're not. If you are, then you used to be this way. If you're not, then you still are. The fact that there may be people out here today, or maybe even listening on YouTube or wherever, that have never been reconciled to God. They've never come to that point of restoring that broken relationship caused by sin. They're still alienated by God. They're still standing condemned because they've never accepted the fact that they need a Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the only one. Satan has got so many lies out there in places and churches that say, oh, well, you just have to do this, and your Jesus gets us, and He's okay with where you are. No, He's not. If He's okay with where you are, then He wouldn't have done this. Jesus Christ is not okay. God is not okay for you or I to live in continual sin. Yes, I'm still going to mess up. I will never be perfect this side of glory. When I step into the presence of God, at that point, He will glorify me and I will be without sin. But until that day, it's a process of sanctification that gets me closer to being like Jesus. But I can't be okay with sin. I've got to hate what God hates. I've got to love what God loves. So to think that those out there that aren't reconciled are alienated from God, they're separated from Him, they're enemies. I hate to tell you that that's maybe where you're lying, is an enemy of God. And the things that you're doing, allowing sin in your life and choosing sin in your life, is wicked in the eyes of God. But you don't have to be. And that's our second point here. How that reconciliation came about. He said, you were alienated, enemies in your mind and wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. Jesus Christ, and here he's talking to these Colossians, and it's past tense, and that's key that we understand here in this verse, past tense, because in a minute there's going to be a verse that really confuses a lot of people. But you have to understand that he's telling these Colossians, you were like that, but he has reconciled you. It's a past tense deal. He's talking to the Colossians and saying, you were like that, but now he's drawn you back to himself. He's reconciled you to himself in the body of his flesh. And when I started studying this sermon, in preparing this, I did not realize it was going to be on Communion Sunday. But in the body of his flesh, through his death, he changed me from what I was. Like I said, I'm not perfect. But he did it. I'm going to look at a verse here in Romans. Starts in chapter 5, verse 8. It said, but God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I can't even imagine how God could love me. I know He does. I'll never doubt it. But I think, how could He love me? Well, I'm this filthy sinner, and then He sends His Son while I'm still a sinner to die on the cross for me. I'm alienated. I'm an enemy. I'm doing wicked things. And he looks down and He says, but I love you, and I'm going to send my Son to die for you. That's what He does. They are no longer like they once were because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we take that and we take this bread and we take this cup and we remember that, I am no longer like I was because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Well, Pastor, we know that. That's when we come to understand that, that's when we accepted Christ. That's great. But did it affect your day yesterday? Stop for just a moment. Look back at yesterday. It's not that long that you can't remember it. Now, some of you, if you're like me, you forget what happened 10 minutes ago. But stop and think for just a minute about yesterday. Did the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross change any of your actions, attitudes, or decisions yesterday? Could you get out a piece of paper and write them down? How did His death on the cross change yesterday? And if you're like most of us, the biggest part of your notebook paper is going to be blank. We need to remember every single day what He's done. Yeah, He died on the cross. He rose again. You know, I'm going to heaven. And that's the way we look at it. But when you understand where you were and what He did, that should change everything. That should change my conversation with the person I'm golfing with, or that should change my conversation with the person I'm eating with, or the person that I'm pumping gas across from. I don't care where you're at. If He is the Lord of your life, it should change every decision in your life. Well, Pastor, that seems unrealistic. That's because we've put it that way. It is not unrealistic. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we might have abundant life. Now, abundant life, so many times, and I'll be honest with you, I used to think that meant have a happy, good life. Do what you want. Enjoy the fact that Jesus died for you, and now I'm going to go to heaven. That's not abundant life. Abundant life is living my life to the full for Jesus Christ. It may make some people mad here. Not my intention. But the bottom line is, if He's not a priority in your life, He will not be a priority in your family's life. If He's not a priority in your family's life, where do you think your next generation is going to be? He's not going to be a priority in their life either. And then the next generation is not going to know Him. We have to remember what He did, and it has to change who we are. We have been reconciled. Sometimes we look at it like a car wash. Our car was filthy yesterday, so we took it to the car wash and we drove through. And it come out, it was at least a lot cleaner than it was when it went in. You know how long it's going to be before I take that car back to a car wash? I'm going to wait till it gets really, really dirty again. And you're the same way. And we do the same thing with our spiritual life. We have been reconciled. We've been brought back to a relationship with God. Man, everything's good. I'm on that mountaintop experience. It's that good Bible study time, and I've learned, and I've drawn, and I'm close. But as I go through the week, I find myself here, and I find Him over there. And the point of reconciliation is to draw together and stay together. But we just want to be able to come and bump shoulders and be good and feel good and then go back our own way. That's not reconciliation. So He tells the Colossians where they were. He tells them what He did in the fact that through His death, they were reconciled. And man, that should be enough, right? But why did He do that? Why did He love me enough to change me from where I was to what I am? But not even what I am, but to what He wants me to be, is the last half of that verse. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. So that tells me right there in that verse, because some people say, well, the only reason He died on the cross is so that He could have a relationship with you. And yes, that's true. But that's not the only reason, obviously. Because He says in this verse that you were alienated and enemies and doing wicked things, yet now He has reconciled you in the body of His flesh through death to present you. He did that. He reconciled so that He could present you. And if He's going to present you, He's going to present you to someone, right? Well, who would Jesus have to present you to but the Father? So the reason He reconciled you, the reason He reconciled me, was so that He could present us to the Father. There's a lot of times I don't feel very presentable. And you're the same way, I'm sure. When you stop and think that I know I'm not what He wants me to be. But understand this verse. He reconciled so that He could present you holy and blameless, above reproach, not in your sight, but in His sight. So get that. Understand this verse. He wants to present you to God as holy. Now, that is an understanding of the fact that He wants to present you to God in a way that is a relationship that He has with you. And He set that relationship up to where you are set apart for God. That's what holy is. Holy, set apart for God, set apart from sin. He wants to present you as set apart for God. If we have that piece of paper we had earlier, we turn it over and we write on the back of it, do you feel like at any point yesterday you were set apart for God? Or were you just set apart for yourself? Bottom half of that side. Were you set apart from sin? He wants to present us as holy, set apart for God, set apart from sin, and blameless. He wants us to be blameless. He sees us as blameless. Now, sometimes people want to take this passage and say, okay, I don't feel very holy, and I sure know I'm not blameless, and I know I'm not above reproach. And we look at those things. And above reproach is nobody can come and can accuse you of anything. Well, I know so many people really know me, that have known me all my life, or even if they've known me in the past week, that I would probably not become above reproach in their sight. And I'm not in my sight. But when we understand what that reconciliation, what the blood of Jesus Christ does, it doesn't make us perfect, but it makes us forgiven. And it bestows the righteousness of Jesus Christ on us. And we understand that we're not like that anymore because of what He did, and this is how He sees us. He sees you. When He looks at you, He sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've been reconciled by God, if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, He sees you as holy in the sight of God. It's not about how you see yourself. It's about how He sees you. And when He looks at me, He doesn't see all of the filth and the mess ups and the stumbling and the falling. He doesn't see that. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, which can purify us from all sin. And He bestows us the righteousness of Jesus Christ on us. And so when He presents us to God, God doesn't see Steve as Steve sees himself. He doesn't see me as someone else sees me. He sees me as the blood of Jesus Christ covering every sin. That's what the reconciliation brings about. And above reproach in His sight means that even Satan cannot accuse me. Because the Bible tells me that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for me. So when Satan, who is the accuser of the saints, wants to throw up my mistakes before God, Jesus says, no, my blood's got that covered. You can't accuse him. In my sight, he's above reproach. But that does not mean I can live the way I want to. I just looked up. It's 10 after. Too bad. I'm about done. But what I want us to understand is this that takes place, telling them where they were, telling them how it happened through the blood of Jesus Christ, telling them the goal of it all was to present them to the Father in the way He sees us. In all of that, faith is required. Faith to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Verse 23 is the verse where a lot of people get confused. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, you are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Some people want to take that and say, oh, well, if you continue in the faith. What that is actually, that word is a Greek word for if, is epsilon iota, and they put together and it means if, but it also means since. It's the same Greek word, means if or since. So it says, since you continue in your faith, grounded and steadfast, you won't be moved. You're not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. You are reconciled. You're not like that anymore since you have received the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith. That's what it's saying. So today I want to leave you with this. Live reconciled. You're not like you used to be. Remember it, but don't dwell there. Remember how you got where you are. And remember, He's wanting to present you to the Father. But the same faith, remember, He was reconciled in the past, and then this faith is present. The present cannot change the past. It's not if you're going to lose your faith. That's not what it says. It's the understanding that you are to live reconciled because you had faith. Faith to believe in who He was, and so He reconciled you. And because He reconciled you, you continue to live in that same faith. Guys, we've got to live reconciled. And that doesn't mean just bumping shoulders with Him every week. It means living, walking as He walked, walking with Him. The Bible talks about He holds us in His hands. It's a continual relationship with Jesus Christ that is not scattered. It's not long distance. Where are you at today? Have you been reconciled? If not, then obviously you know how you can, because He said that His death on the cross made that possible. We know we're not where we should be, but we know He had a goal for us. He loves you so much just as you are, but He loves you too much to leave you where you are. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for all that You do. I thank You for the blessings of this day. But Lord, I thank You so much for loving me, loving each one here. Lord, if there be any in this place that don't know You, I pray that they would come to You, accept You as their Lord and Savior, and be reconciled to You. Lord, those of us that have that relationship, may we continue to walk reconciled. In Your name we pray. Amen.